Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. The Counter-Terrorism and Border Security Act has just been passed in the UK, and if you've heard nothing about this, neither have I, don't worry. And this bestows on law enforcement officers broad new powers. What are these powers and what are the offences? To talk about this issue, I welcome to the programme Adam Garry, a geopolitical analyst and director at Eurasia Future based in the UK. Hello, Adam.
Hi there.
Good to speak to you again. Now, can you please tell us what are these new powers? What is this Counter-Terrorism Border Security Act all about?
Well, they call it counter-terrorism, but they ought to call it counterintelligence, but in the literal sense of it being very stupid. It is the opposite of intelligence because, like lots of poorly drafted and poorly considered legislation, it's overly broad in its approach. It's got enforceability issues that are frankly quite insane, and it criminalizes the general population at the expense of actually using resources to target actual violent extremists, terrorists, and their associates. So the basics of this law are that when it comes into force, someone who merely clicks on, who views a video or some written content deemed to be glorifying terrorism will be persecuted as a terrorist.
Yeah.
Now, if people don't understand straight off the bat why that's a huge problem, it just shows how this Orwellian atmosphere has really destroyed people's ability to think logically. It's really one step removed from a kind of science fiction style thought crime,
yeah,
where just looking at something is going to be determined as supporting it, which is, of course, simply ludicrous at every level.
Okay, and let me just stop you there now. First question, has this act actually been passed? Is this now in force, or is this something that's going to happen in the future?
It's gone through the political channels, but civil service and, frankly, the police will be speaking amongst themselves about trying to develop a way to enforce it. So much like a similar draconian law that they passed about limiting the exposure of online pornography that's been delayed and delayed and delayed, I have a feeling that the implementation of this will be delayed as well. I mean, look at Brexit. It seems that everything in the UK is being delayed, but in this case, obviously, a delay will be important because hopefully cooler heads will prevail and actually realize that the legislation is totally pointless, not least because in the common law, it's for centuries been illegal to make a credible and violent threat against someone, whether in writing, whether orally, or etc. And so frankly, this law makes criminals out of regular people, while ancient laws have long made the promulgation of terrorism and violence illegal. Those things have never been legal, so there's no need for this legislation anyway.
Okay, but the thing is, I've been reading the newspapers like you are, I'm sure, every day, and I actually was really shocked when I saw this article a couple of days ago telling me about this, and I was actually more than shocked, I was actually deeply disturbed because I realised that something had come onto the statute books, which you quite rightly say hasn't been enforced yet, but it's already in on the statute books, which we didn't know about. And I guess the reason I didn't know about it, because everybody's going, you know, ballyhooing about Brexit every single day of our lives, and that's all we hear about. So this has just been slipped in, hasn't it? Under the door, so to speak, when everyone's busy, you know, talking about Europe and everything. Extremely frightening. And the second thing I'm worried about is who defines what is terrorism?
Well, quite right. Every country in the world has a different definition. We see the US and the UN sometimes go at it about what is and what isn't terrorism. And so obviously, it's a cliche, but one that's derived from some reality that one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter.
Yeah.
But what's crucial for this is that it melds the quite proper areas of law enforcement against violence, against terrorism, against criminality, with the basic right of people to view content, whether intentionally or accidentally. And even though they say, to be fair, that people who are looking at it for academic purposes or for research and journalism journalistic purposes. But how can that really be proved? I just have a feeling that if one has a sophisticated title before his or her name and happens to not be a Muslim and not be from the Middle East in terms of origin and not be from Asia in origin, might get an easier ride if the coppers visit them on this than someone who happens to be a practicing Muslim with a background from Asia or the Middle East. So the Pandora's box inside of can of worms wrapped up in a total chaotic mess that this could bring forward is really, really big. Because as Roger Waters was interviewed on your sister station, RT, just yesterday, and he said anyone is a journalist so long as they disseminate truthful information that is in the public good. And many people would argue, and this is a philosophical argument, that viewing some of this terrorist footage is actually crucial information. You've got to know who your enemy is. So there is a strong argument to be made, very strong, that viewing this footage is actually important in galvanizing support for the responsible parties throughout the world that are fighting terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, let me just quote one short line from 1984. You know, Winston cries out, "I like being myself and nasty."
Yeah.
I mean, okay, that's not a very good line of argument, but quite honestly, perhaps there is some justification in the fact that if we are prevented from going online and seeing what we want, then, hey, hang on a minute, isn't that the same as locking our door? Isn't that the same as locking us in our flats mentally? We need to be able to choose for ourselves. But their argument, of course, the law and order people are saying that there are people out there who are trying purposely to manipulate your consciousness, to manipulate your brain, to turn you into a violent person. So there is that argument as well, isn't there? That there's a sort of the nasty people. You can be nasty, but you shouldn't be exposed to the nasty, nasty, nasty people.
Well, this argument has no scientific background, but I remember in the 1980s, this exact same argument was used to censor, and for the younger listeners, I'm not making this up, in the United States, they were trying to censor heavy metal rock music by saying exactly what they're now saying about this terrorist content. It wasn't just heavy metal, it was Prince, it was Madonna, that somehow, if you just listen to this music, even if you don't particularly enjoy it, but if you just listen to it, you're going to turn into some savage, killing, raping machine from the outer reach of hell, which was, of course, nonsense then, and this argument is totally nonsense now. If one is going to live in a dictatorship and just be frank about, they can censor whatever they want, that's the prerogative of a dictator. But if one's going to have a free society, it's got to be the real deal. There's only one definition of freedom, and this is the antithesis of it. And not only that, it's anti-psychological, it's anti-philosophical. It's essentially saying that people are too stupid to have a sense of right and wrong, and that all it takes for the general population to be transformed into terrorist killing machines is to watch blurry mobile phone footage taken from Iraq 3 years ago. I mean, if people are really that stupid, we shouldn't just lock our doors. We should bury ourselves in a bunker. But obviously, people aren't that stupid. But the government is trying to increase its control over people's free lives by making a fallacious argument that would imply that people are really, really stupid.
Let's take a short break here.
Brave New World.
Today I'm talking with Adam Gary, a geopolitical analyst and director at Eurasia Future based in the UK, about recent counter-terror laws which have been introduced in the United Kingdom. Now, Adam, there's another aspect to this, isn't there? I read that there's a description of so-called punishments that may be taken against people who journey to so-called designated areas. And I presume what they're talking about are areas where there's war going on, or areas which there could be a war going on. I mean, and then I thought, well, what are they talking about? They're talking about areas in the Middle East? Are they talking perhaps about Russia? You know, are they talking about, say Scotland, if Scotland wants to become independent? I mean, the abstract designated area is rather abstract, isn't it?
It's not in the abstract, but it's yet another example of legislating for something which far better legislation already exists. It's already illegal under UK law and under international law to participate in criminal activity on a field of battle. The definition of war crimes, the definition of what it means to be a terrorist, a mercenary, all these things are age-old definitions that are on the statute books in Europe, in Britain, in the US, in Russia, in China, at the level of the UN. And so it really beggars belief that they need additional legislation to police a fairly straightforward concept. If someone's a war criminal, it isn't all that difficult to find out what they're doing. And just traveling to a country, whether as a journalist or whether as a photographer, I mean, would Frank Capra be arrested for going to revolutionary Spain in the 30s, the Second World War? I mean, it's quite ridiculous that now, under this legislation, people that are journalists, photographers, freelancers, independent photojournalists, etc., could fall under a provision that is meant to catch war criminals. And obviously, there are already provisions in the law to catch war criminals.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, for me, this looks pretty ridiculous. I kind of agree with the sentiments that you expressed at the beginning of the program. But I can't help feeling that once legislation exists, once legislation is there in the statute books, even if it's not applied, or if it can't be applied at a certain time, if the environment changes, this legislation is already there, and any government can then say, but according to law, whatever it is, you know, passed in 2019, we hereby arrest you because of this particular thing that everyone's forgotten about. And we may forget about this counterterrorism law thing in about 3 years' time, but it'll still be there, won't it, unless it's rescinded.
Absolutely. It's one of these things where you give the government this power because people think the government is so trustworthy and so virtuous and such a great arbiter of morality. Not many people would say that about this current government. The fact that it's so incompetent that it seems though the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, giving them powers probably isn't too frightening a concept. But imagine the duty is, as you correctly implied, that a very different kind of government with a much more hard-line view of things and much more competence with which to enforce it would inherit these powers. It's very dangerous. I mean, absolute power can corrupt absolutely. That's one of these universal truisms. And this certainly is a gateway for that kind of absolute power that's so prone to corruption.
Yeah, because I don't actually believe that the present government or any government right now in the UK, I really don't believe that it could, you know, use this law to instigate mass arrests. I think there's more common sense. I mean, a government impact assessment for the act said the law still provides for the existing, quote, reasonable excuse defense, you know, and so on, so on, so on. So I'm not really convinced that really this is such a big problem at the present time, but it's the future, isn't it? It's a future that we should be concerned about, and the potential for misuse of laws by people who perhaps are politically perverted, excuse the expression, in one way or the other.
Absolutely. And then there's another problem where even if the people who adjudicate this at the top are reasonable and have a background in the common law where they understand basic logic and how it fits in with a sensible legal system, if the people that are going to be enforcing this are, pardon the expression, just a typical jobs worth sort of person who really has been given a sheet of paper about what's terrorism and what's isn't, what kind of person is watching it for educational purposes, I mean, do we really trust people who might yesterday have been giving tickets to cars parked on a double yellow line to make these assessments, which frankly many professors of philosophy would find difficult to clearly define in a short space of time? So that's an issue as well.
And of course the whole issue we haven't touched on is the issue of applicability. I mean, I've lived and worked in China for a while, and everybody there used to use VPNs, you know, to watch the news sites, what they wanted to watch. It was extremely difficult, and it still is very difficult for that government, any government actually, to, I mean, once you have two computers that are connected together, you know, using electricity, it's quite difficult to stop these things, isn't it?
I mean, I suppose the only country that's been successful at it is North Korea, because they don't really have the World Wide Web as we know it. They have an internal internet that only connects North Korean computers to other computers there, but except for high-level officials, ordinary people aren't able to access the World Wide Web as they are in every other country, including, as you say, in China, where people go around the far obvious enough and generally harmless reasons. So the point is, the internet is hard to regulate. It usually is quite stupid to regulate it, but think of all the money that will be wasted in trying to regulate something that even some of the most competent, otherwise competent governments in the world can't really regulate. It's just a bit ridiculous. I mean, how many nurses could be hired for the amount of money that people are going to spend on finding the terrorist mind thought police? It's quite ridiculous. And I'm all for fighting terrorism. I don't think you couldn't find someone more anti-terrorism than me if you tried. But this isn't about fighting terrorism. It's about fighting the freedom to access information. And the minute people say that access to information is the equivalent of being a criminal, you're living in a totalitarian society.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing, isn't it, the elephant in the room that nobody's even mentioning, is the fact that who gives a government, any government, the right to monitor what you're seeing online anyway?
Quite right. And for that, we can thank people like Julian Assange, people like Edward Snowden, who let the world know that, look, the government is doing things that it shouldn't do, that in most cases it doesn't have the legal right to do, and then in virtually no cases it has any ethical obligation to do. So if things are bad enough as it is because of what governments are doing, and Snowden and Assange are responsible for providing us with that information, I mean, while we're on that subject, is it soon going to be illegal to look at WikiLeaks? Not to publish it. Yeah. We already know how much trouble you can get in for publishing the WikiLeaks, but what if one just looks at it?
Yeah, but even to look at it, even to open up the web address, that's going to be illegal, and that can be recorded and used against you. Absolutely. Well, with that cheerful news...
And that's the real fear.
Yeah, and that's the real fear. With that cheerful news, listeners, we have to stop this program. We've run out of time, and I thank you very much indeed for being with us, Adam Gary, a geopolitical analyst and director at Eurasia Future based in the UK. Thank you very much indeed, Adam.
Thanks again.
Thanks, listeners. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.